You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, Brain, here we go. We're off and running. 2024 is here. The last episode of the show was talking about what should the Dolphins do about Jerome Baker and Xavien Howard, and the Dolphins wasted no time. They made an announcement late last week that they were releasing Emmanuel Ogba, freeing up about $13 million in cap space, and they are also designating Xavien Howard as a post-June 1st cut. And that will happen officially. The release will be official on the first day of the league year in a couple weeks in March. And that is going to save the Dolphins another, what, $18 million in cap space for the 2024?
After June 1st, yes.
After June 1st. So they'll have all of that savings. But on top of all of that, Brain, the NFL announced that the salary cap for 2024 is $255.4 million, which is a higher number than most folks had even anticipated. And we're going to talk about, right off the top of the bat here, we're going to talk about how that affects the Dolphins' plans. And then we'll get into the end of our free agent roundup. We've discussed Rob Hunt. We've discussed Connor Williams. We've discussed Xavien Howard. We've discussed Jerome Baker. We've discussed Tua Tagovailoa. We've discussed a lot of players that the Dolphins are going to have decisions about. We're going to finish a little roundup of some of those other odds and ends type players in this episode. But before we do any of that, Brain, a reminder to everybody listening, if you're not doing so already, make sure you are following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I am at AmplifiedToRock. He is at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to smash the like button on this video. Shout out to everybody watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go ahead and smash that thumbs up button for us right now if you would. We appreciate it very much. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. You can also download, rate, and review the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. So we appreciate you subscribing over there as well. And of course, shout out to everybody watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We're glad to be with you today. Whether you're watching live or on demand after the fact, we appreciate you. And make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins as news breaks and news develops. This Emmanuel Ogba, Xavien Howard stuff is only the first part of the picture. There's going to be a lot more coming down the pike. We're going to have some extensions coming up. We might not have some extensions coming up. There's going to be a lot of interesting stuff coming your way. So make sure you're following up. You're staying with us at DolphinsTalk.com. Brain, here we go. Your reaction, I guess before we get into the Ogba and X thing, I want first your reaction to the salary cap being $255.4 million.
Yeah, it's huge. Keep in mind that until a couple weeks ago, it was pretty much expected that the NFL salary cap for 2024 was going to be somewhere around $242 to $243 million. So when a couple weeks ago, everybody was talking about how the Dolphins are going to be $51 or $52 million over the cap. That was based on that number. Then last week, we got, you know, this sort of report. It wasn't confirmed, but it was sort of floated out there that the salary cap was probably going to be about around $250 million. And we immediately said, well, that's pretty big, because now we're talking an extra $7 or $8 million in cap space. And now we're at 255.4, so we're an extra $5 million over that. We're really an extra $13 million over where this was expected to be just a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, when we started this exercise for the offseason, where we were deciding, you know, what we want to see the Dolphins do, we were doing it under the assumption that the Dolphins were $52 million over the cap. And realistically, they're only about $39 million over the cap. And obviously, we talked about, you know, the Emmanuel Ogba cut was to no one's surprise. There's going to be a couple other cuts to Jeff Wilson and Keon Crossan in all likelihood, because that's going to save you like another 5.8 or something like that, almost $6 million. And then we've been talking about the restructures that the Dolphins can do that seem like no-brainer restructures to guys like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb, and Zach Sealer, because these are all guys that they're going to be here for a few years. And so there's no real downside to giving them guaranteed money up front this year, reducing their cap, and just kicking that cap down the road because you need it for this year. And we were doing that under the assumption that, well, you needed to do that. And if you did all of that, you know, you'd probably be around, what did we say? Like probably around like $14 million or so. And then, you know, if you extend Tua, then you can get to like $26, $27 million. Well, here's the thing. Now, just by making those moves, you can get to $26 or $27 million under the cap before you even make a decision on Tua. And that's before you even make a decision on Jerome Baker, because you could cut you could cut or trade Jerome Baker and save another almost $10 million. So it is not and you know, they could even restructure Teron Armstead. The tricky part about restructuring Teron Armstead is that you're going to take a big cap hit down the road for somebody that's probably not going to be on your team, which, you know, might rub some people the wrong way. But even if you don't do the Teron Armstead thing, even if you don't do the Jerome Baker thing, if you just extend Tua and you make the no-brainer moves, you're already probably going to be right around $40 million in cap space, you know, with before you have to make any of these decisions on guys that you want to sign. And that is a huge discrepancy from where we thought we were going to be a couple of weeks ago. So to me, I mean, granted, my thought process has been and will continue to be that the Miami Dolphins' key to this offseason should be to lock up as many of their key players that they have decisions on as possible, because that's your pillars. That's the foundation of your club. But I would say now, even more so than ever, I would say, well, yeah, now you definitely don't need to be nickeling and diming Christian Wilkins. Because if you were of the opinion that, oh, we can't afford to give Christian Wilkins $25 million a year under a salary cap of $243 million, but you were like, well, maybe he deserves to be around $23 million a year. Well, now the cap is 13% higher than it was last year. So, like, yeah, did you want to give Christian Williams $25 million at the start of last season, which is what Quinnen Williams got? No, you probably didn't. You probably said, well, he probably doesn't deserve to be in that stratosphere. But now that we're like 13.5% of an increase on the salary cap, and it's probably going to go up another 10 to 13% next year, why are we going to sit here and nickel and dime one of our best players who's the leader in the locker room? Especially going into a year where two of your best defensive players are coming off of major injuries. And I'm not saying, well, you sign him because those guys are coming off of injuries. I'm saying you sign this guy because he's your most consistent best player on defense. And he has been, and you drafted him, and he's gotten better every single year. So more so than ever, I'm saying you need to get the deal done with Christian Wilkins, because that's the other bit of news that we'll get into, is that, you know, last week it was kind of, who was it, Dan Graziano, you know, of ESPN reported. You kind of have to read between the lines a little bit. I don't think what he said was is that the Dolphins don't plan on letting Christian Wilkins leave. That doesn't mean that the Dolphins necessarily are 100% going into next season without him, or with him. What I think it means is that they're not going to let him walk. That right. If they can't come to an agreement, they're going to franchise him. But at this point, you know, if you franchise him, you're going to pay what? Like $21, $22 million and a cap figure for him. Just come to the extension. Like how far apart can they be?
Right.
That it doesn't make sense to sign him. Like, yeah. Is he asking for $30 million a year? Because if he's asking for $30 million a year, okay. Maybe at that point, I'm a little apprehensive to signing him. But it, like, a few million dollars per year, when in all reality, in all likelihood, you're going to sign this guy, and 3 or 4 years from now, you're either going to be firmly entrenched in, like, you're a Super Bowl contending team and you're trying to just extend your winning window, and you're going to just extend him or restructure until you have to extend him, or you're going to restructure this thing until you're in cap hell in a couple of years and you're going to blow this whole thing up because you've decided that it just doesn't work. So, like, I'm not letting one of my best players walk, and at the same time, I'm not franchising a guy when I can extend him and it gives me the ability to lock up two or three other key pieces.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. So the Dolphins basically get a little bit of flexibility. Now, it should be said, everybody else gets a little bit more flexibility too. It's not just the Dolphins that get that flexibility, but the Dolphins do get a little bit more breathing room with some of the more pressing decisions that they've got to make with players like Christian Wilkins. So what about some of the other guys? I mean, we're going to talk about, you know, these other players that we have free agent decisions to make, guys that are currently with the team. But aside from Christian Wilkins, does your decision making change with anybody else? So one of the things we talked about when we talked about Jerome Baker was we talked about the idea of possibly upgrading from Jerome Baker to a guy like Patrick Queen. But the problem with Patrick Queen is that he was going to be expensive. Well, now there's a little bit, maybe a little bit of room to play with there. To me, I guess the extra cap space, what it says to me is that I think there is now a roadmap to what is my desire, which is keeping the vast majority of our key players who are up for new contracts. That's Christian Wilkins. That's Rob Hunt. That's Connor Williams. That is Andrew Van Ginkel. If you can find a deal there, it's Andrew Van Ginkel. It's one of the guys we're going to talk about later, Deshaun Elliott. I think there are ways to keep, and Christian Wilkins is the other one. There are ways to keep all of those guys in the house and still have some flexibility to move around if you make you know, if you make the smart decisions with everybody else. I know there's some people in the comments saying that they don't want to pay $25 million to a defensive tackle, but the fact of the matter is you're going to downgrade at the position if you move off of Christian Wilkins. You're going to downgrade perhaps significantly. He's one of the best players in the league at that position, and I think he is somebody that deserves to be paid like it. And the fact that he's somebody that was brought up by the organization, to me, it's a no-brainer to make that move. Yes, you gambled. You gambled, and he took a gamble by not accepting the offer that the Dolphins, you know, floated to him evidently last offseason. But then he went out and had a career year. So you reward the guy. You give him his flowers. So I think it puts the Dolphins in a pretty good situation here, Brain, all across the board.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, and I think that's kind of where I'm landing. Yes, more so than ever, with given the flexibility of having more cap space and knowing that this is not just a one-year thing. It's not like, you know, the cap is just higher this year. What it means is the cap is going to be higher than anticipated next year and the year after as well. Mm-hmm. So these ideas of, well, if you extend these guys and then their cap numbers are going to be huge, well, and it's going to be a problem down the road, you're going to have more cap space down the road. And you can always, you know, restructure, and the way that you structure these contracts to begin with, you know, is going to give you that leeway. And the point is to lock them in. And so more so than ever, yes, I want to keep these guys. What I'll say is that take a guy like Connor Williams, who was playing at an extremely high level, was arguably the best center in the league. I mean, take PFF grades for what you will, but PFF had him graded as the number one center in the league. Even if you said he was the fifth best center in the league, he's going to be the best center or the second best center on the market. But he's also coming off of an injury. And so if I'm Connor Williams and teams are apprehensive to give me the bag because I'm coming off of an ACL tear, then I'm probably, knowing that this cap is just accelerating, I'm probably trying to get as much as I can on a one-year deal this season. And then I'm going to get the bag next year. And if that's where he's at, well, then I think that doesn't necessarily work for the Dolphins. And so that's where I can make the argument to come off of Connor Williams. And that's where I say, well, okay, if I'm saving the money there from Connor Williams, then maybe, you know, with that money and the extra money that I wasn't expecting to have in cap space, maybe I can make an upgrade somewhere. And maybe it's not with Patrick Queen, because I don't really want to pay $20 million a year for a linebacker. Maybe it's Damian Lewis at the other guard spot from Seattle. Maybe you get that, and then, you know, you can either live with Liam Eikenberg at center, or you can draft a center, or you can...
Maybe you spend some money on Laken Tomlinson, who the Jets just released.
Well, I think with Laken Tomlinson, you've got the opportunity to potentially get a bargain, because you've got a guy that didn't necessarily play well, you know, with the Jets these last 2 years, but is very familiar with Mike McDaniel, and you know that he fits into the system. And because he underachieved, there's not going to be a whole bunch of people that are just lining up to pay Laken Tomlinson a bunch of money. And so maybe you can save money there. But, you know, maybe you want to spend it somewhere else. Maybe since you got rid of Xavien Howard, maybe you're going to spend money on a corner. You know, maybe you want to upgrade, you know, whether it's at guard, whether it's at linebacker, whether it's at corner. I mean, maybe you want to spend the money on Derrick Henry at running back, because the Dolphins have had a hard time finding that running back that can pound out, you know, 2 or 3 yards when you need 2 or 3 yards. Well, now you get a guy that can not just do that, but he can actually be an every down back, and then it just makes you that much more dangerous, especially when you know, you're going to be facing light boxes because you've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Heck, maybe you want to spend that money on a receiver and get a legit third receiver. The fact is, this opens things up to where you have options, but you only have those options if you can avoid using the franchise tag and you can avoid playing Tua on the fifth year option. And that's why my thought process has always been extend Tua, get the long-term deal done with Christian Wilkins. And all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, even with Christian Wilkins being signed, you probably have like $35 to $40 million in cap space to play with. And it's a good position to be in.
Yeah. So I think, but what we're learning here is the quote unquote capocalypse is never fully going to materialize. Because again, there are people who will tell you the cap is always going to come due. And to a certain degree, that's true. But it's only going to come down. You only have to confront it when you decide you're ready to just confront it. It's basically, you only need to confront the capocalypse when you're ready to just say, okay, we're stripping it down to the studs. And now we'll deal with the capocalypse. Because otherwise, you can play the games. You can push things off to the future. The salary cap's going to keep rising. It's never going to quite be the abject disaster that some people are going to try to make you think that it is. There are always ways around it if you're clever. And again, that number almost always is almost inevitably bigger than you anticipated being. So that's not to downplay that there aren't, you know, games that you got to play to manipulate it and make it work. But when you have an owner who has proven, like Stephen Ross, and I listen, I'm not like the head of the Steve Ross fan club or anything like that. But one thing that he seems to be willing to do is to write the checks to help Chris Greer and company manipulate the cap numbers. So anyway, that being said, let's take a look at some of these. Well, anything else you want to talk about before we tie up some of these loose ends with some of these other free agents, Brian? I don't want to get too much into the speculation about this free agent or that free agent because we got a whole show next week that's going to be geared towards who are the free agents that the Dolphins are going to go after. We got plenty of time for that.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. What I'll say is that on the other side of the coin, because you have more cap space this year, if you can't get the long-term deal done with either Tua or Christian Wilkins, it's easier to stomach one of those guys being a huge cap number this year, whether that's Christian Wilkins on the franchise tag or it's Tua playing on the fifth-year option, because a $23 million cap hit hurts a lot more, you know, a couple weeks ago when you think the cap is $242 million than it does today when it's going to be $255 million. And the same goes for Christian Wilkins if you franchise him. So what I'd say is that you're not necessarily in dire straits if you have to go with either of those options. And so from that perspective, I do think it actually gives the Dolphins a little bit more leverage in their negotiations with those players.
Yeah. So I am going to sneeze very shortly on this podcast. So I just want to say that real quick, because if I explode at any moment, that's why. But yeah, it's coming. I just want to let everybody know it's coming at some point down the line here. It's going to be a big moment. But let's move on.
Suspense is real.
What's that?
The suspense is real.
Well, you know, that's what we in the business call a teaser. But you never know when it's going to happen. But let's get into some of these other free agents that we got on the roster here, Brain, that we need to figure out what to do with. And the one that I want to start with is Deshaun Elliott. Because I think Deshaun Elliott, to me, it's a no-brainer. I think you hit the jackpot with him. You got him at a bargain price last week. or last season rather, and you've got him again, and I think you've got an opportunity to lock him up. You give him a little bit of extra, but he, I think, proved to be a highly, highly valuable piece of the secondary puzzle, particularly when we were playing without Jalen Ramsey at the beginning of the season, and then particularly when Javon Holland was banged up throughout the season. I thought his sure-handedness in that position was ideal, and I think he's the kind of guy the Dolphins would be foolish not to try to lock up for at least another couple years here.
I agree, because you're gonna be spending a lot of money on Javon Holland here very soon. He's the next in line for a big payday. He's in a contract year in 2024. And you know, he's been playing. I mean, granted, it wasn't good. Him getting hurt in that Jets game and then basically missing, you know, the vast majority of the rest of the season. And then when he came back, he was not 100%, and you could tell. But obviously, you know, when he missed that time and he wasn't playing at 100%, you saw what the result was from this defense versus when he is playing at a really high level. And I think when you listen to the press conference of Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins' new defensive coordinator, and he talks about how his defense is going to be about featuring players and their skills more so than a system and getting the players to fit that system, it tells me that Javon Holland is going to be featured in this system. And so you're going to be paying him. So you can't be paying another safety. But you can get Deshaun Elliott and can you get him 2-3 years, $4-5 million a year? I would say $4 million a year, but you know, the cap just went up, so maybe you have to give him 4.5. Lock up Deshaun Elliott for,
sign him up,
3 years, $14 million. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Ba da ba ba ba.
Da 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 da.
Yeah. Great. So we're both of us are in agreement. We're locking up Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah. Well, and what we don't know necessarily is this defense going to be a little bit closer to the Brian Flores defense that really utilizes three safeties a lot? Or is it going to be a little bit closer to the Fangio defense in that you're not really going to see three safeties on the field a whole lot? If you're going to see three safeties on the field a lot, then you definitely need to lock him up, because your other safety that you need to make a decision on is Brandon Jones.
Right.
And you can make the argument, and we could talk about Brandon Jones, about whether or not they want to keep him or not. But one thing's for sure, Brandon Jones is not going to succeed in the role that Deshaun Elliott succeeded in, which is as a second safety that can play deep in coverage, because that is something that's something
that happened this year. We saw him struggle.
Saw
in the game in the game that Elliott missed.
Right. Well, Brandon Jones, it was known coming out of college. We saw it this year. He is a third safety. He is a box safety. He is a great blitzer. He is great in run support, and he can drop into shallow zones. That's who he is. It's sort of like in New England for years, it was the Patrick Chung role. And we've known this about Brandon Jones since they drafted him. It's a very niche role that he has that happened to be very important to the Brian Flores scheme. And as soon as Brian Flores left, and Josh Boyer left, all of a sudden, Brandon Jones was basically phased out. And granted, he was coming off of an injury as well. But even towards the end of the season, when he got more run, you see those weaknesses in his game. And so the flip side of that is that because he is so niche, he's probably going to be pretty cheap to keep. So I don't know. It depends kind of what you know, Anthony Weaver sees in him and wants to, how he wants to run his defense. Yes. Could the Dolphins, like they said in the comment, like they're saying in the comments right now, could the Dolphins go out and address safety in the draft and get a young safety? Sure. They can get a young safety in the draft, but they have other needs, and safety is not going to be the highest need, especially if they're going to bring back Deshaun Elliott. So, you know, it might be worth it if you bring back Brandon Jones at like $1.5 million or $2 million. You know, it might be worth it to bring him back at least for one season, just to kind of see where he fits into the defense. But you definitely want to bring back Deshaun Elliott. I completely agree.
Yeah. Well, let's stay in the secondary because there's another person out there that we need to talk about, and that's Nick Needham. Nick Needham, I think we did not see the full Nick Needham effect this year. You know, whether it was because of coming back off of the injury or what, but the feeling that I get, and again, I'm not basing this off of anything other than vibes, really, but the feeling that I get is that Nick Needham is maybe disposable based on the evaluation that the Dolphins got in with guys like Ethan Bonner. And we're going to find out about Cam Smith. And if those guys, if Bonner is the real deal and Cam Smith is the real deal, Nick Needham is not a guy that Dolphins are going to need to pay.
What do you, how do you define the real deal?
Well, I mean, if these are like legitimately good cornerbacks, right? And these are guys that you could, like, I mean, they could easily be Xavien Howard replacements. Like,
oh, well, you think Ethan Bonner might be a Xavien Howard replacement?
Well, I don't know. Shout out to Bearded Fanatic in the comments. I see you, Manny. Appreciate it. Let's go. Let's ride. Dolphins Talk Nation. Let's go. By the way, smash that like button, everybody. Subscribe to the channel. Appreciate you. Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly possible. I mean, those are big shoes to fill. But when I say Xavien Howard has big shoes to fill, I mean Xavien Howard a couple years ago left us some big shoes, and he hasn't been that player for a little while. He was closer to it this past season, but he had slowed down. He wasn't the same guy. And so I think you want to have one of those two guys that you can pair with Jalen Ramsey. But again, it comes down to, what is this? How is this Anthony Weaver defense going to function? And that's a question we don't know the answer to.
Well, one thing I know is that you can never have too many good cornerbacks.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
And we're now without X. And so I think let's just assess it. Like, let's assess it realistically without projection. We've got an elite corner in Jalen Ramsey. Then we've got Kader Kohou, who overachieved in his first year, had a very up and down season. I think it's safe to say it would be questionable if he is your second best corner. That's a little iffy. That's not great to go into the season with Kader Kohou as your second best corner. But until we see something from Cam Smith, that's the situation, because Cam Smith, for as highly touted as he was and for his flash plays in the preseason, could not get on the field last year. And so projecting Cam Smith to all of a sudden be your second best corner is like us sitting here a few years ago after Noah Igbinoghene's rookie year and saying, oh, well, Noah Igbinoghene is going to be your second best corner.
Wait,
it's just not a good plan.
I think you have to look at the Cam Smith situation with a certain degree of a certain number of grains of salt, because my understanding of that situation was that Fangio made a decision fairly early in the year that he didn't like something about Cam Smith, and made the conscious decision that this was not a guy that was going to play. And so I think that significantly alters how you perceive Cam Smith. I think Cam Smith to me is still a blank canvas.
That's fine, but a blank canvas, you don't know what it is. And the only
That's
thing
true.
That we
That's
have
one to, of the problems. That's one of the and, problems with how Fangio handled this last
Well, time. also we don't know who he is, and the only thing that we have to go on is that an all-time great defensive coordinator thinks that he sucks and couldn't get the field. So, like, I'm not saying that Cam Smith is a bust after 1 year, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't get playing time and that the Dolphins need to find out what they have in him. But if you're going into this season and your expectation is that Cam Smith is going to go in there and he's going to be a quality starting cornerback, well, I think you're taking a big leap of faith there.
Well, I didn't say I was expecting that. I am hopeful. I think a lot of us are hopeful. You're hopeful that you've got something in Bonner, you've got something in Cam Smith, and then that would enable you to not have to necessarily rely on Nick Needham, because again, Nick Needham is another one of those guys who's getting up there, and you know, he's at that point, coming off of a major injury. Will he ever be the same Nick Needham that he was before? And even Nick Needham at his very best was not the elite of the elite when it comes to...
Yeah, well, and I think that, like, circling back to Nick Needham, like, I don't think Nick Needham or Ethan Bonner are guys that you're going to expect to
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question about Nick Needham?
Uh-huh.
Do you think the Dolphins need him?
Hey, yo. I don't think that the Dolphins need him. But I think... if you can bring him back on the cheap, I think it makes it easier to address your other needs. Because if the Dolphins went into the season and their cornerback situation was Jalen Ramsey, Cam Smith, Kader Kohu, Ethan Bonner, Nick Needham, and then you drafted a guy, I'd feel a little better having Nick Needham there as opposed to replacing Nick Needham with just another somebody that you drafted, because Nick Needham, at least we know if he's healthy, because this is the other thing. He didn't play a lot last year and he was coming off of a major injury. So we don't really know where he is from, like, an athleticism. Like, did he take a step back after his injury? But if he's 100% healthy, and he's as healthy as he was a couple of years ago when he was playing at his peak, then what we know is Nick Needham's a pretty decent nickel corner. And so now you've got, between Nick Needham and Kader Kohu, you've got two guys that you feel comfortable about in the nickel. And now you've got Cam Smith, who is battling for an outside position, Ethan Bonner, who, you know, maybe is battling for a nickel position. You've got some depth there. I still think I would like them to bring in some sort of veteran into that room. You're not going to probably spend a lot of money there, because I think, like I said last week and probably the week before, I do think part of the plan this season is evaluating what you have at some of these positions, even if that means that you take a step back. And so that might mean that you do go into this season expecting Cam Smith to be your starter. And if Cam Smith ends up being your starter and he ends up flaming out, well, that's going to suck. And you're probably going to be a much worse defense for it. But then you know that you need to address that position going forward, as opposed to, you know, if they were to have kept Xavien Howard, or if they bring in a veteran and they start him over Cam Smith and they bring him on a one-year deal, then we go into 2025 and we're doing the same thing that we should be doing this year, which is evaluating Cam Smith.
Yeah, but I do think
you need another piece in that room, though.
Yeah, but I think that is a room, based on what you have in-house, that is a place where I don't see the Dolphins investing heavily. Like, I don't think they're going to be chasing top of the market talent there. I think that is a position where they're going to spend their time in OTAs doing some evaluation and seeing what they've got. And I think if they're going to bring in somebody to supplement that room. That's a decision that is probably going to be made a little bit later in the summer to help sort of supplement the talent in that room. At least that's how I feel about that position.
Let's I completely agree. I think when you get the $18 million in cap space from from Xavier Howard, and you have other teams around the league, you know, around camp that are letting some guys go, and you get that second wave of free agency, you know, I mean, we got Eli Apple, and I know Eli Apple wasn't good, but he wasn't god awful. He played a lot of snaps for you. He played almost 80% of the snaps for you this past season.
If there's one thing Eli Apple was, well, I guess he was a warm body. He was a warm body on the roster, that's for sure.
Well, he was also your third best outside corner. Good or bad, he was your third best outside corner, and Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard missed a lot of games.
Yes,
so
they did.
You needed it. So, I mean, what I'm saying is not to talk up Eli Apple. It's that you can find a guy like an Eli Apple for a couple million dollars right around the start of training camp or while training camp is going on right before the season starts if you need to supplement your roster with a veteran.
Absolutely. Well, let's move to the offensive line because that's where the last two guys we got to talk about are located. That's Kendall Lamb and Robert Jones. And I'll say this. I think Robert Jones, listen, he went in, he played, he was a body. But I think that's a guy you can upgrade from. I think you can upgrade from Robert Jones as your sort of swing guard for the Dolphins. I think he's somebody that you're going to be able to you'll be able to bring in somebody on a similar deal to what you had him signed to. And that can be a little bit better of a fit. I mean, the big thing is that the Dolphins offensive line, the key to that offensive line and the key to the offense working the way that McDaniel wants it to work is that you needed to have big athletic offensive linemen who could move, who had the ability to move around and to create that space on the offensive line. They needed big athletic offensive linemen, and Robert Jones simply did not fit that profile. He was slower. He was fine in a pinch, but you saw the offense suffer when he had to step in for Isaiah Wynn.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say the appeal of Robert Jones is that he's a restricted free agent. So the Dolphins have some measure of control there where they could put a fourth or fifth round tender on him and pay him a couple million. It's not like he can go out there in the open market and just test it out. And maybe he sees the inflation bump of being on the open market. Because he's restricted, you can get ahead of that, place a tender on him. And then if some team wants to sign him to a big offer sheet, well, then you can let him go and you get a draft pick. So I think the appeal of a Robert Jones is that he is a guy that you know from what you've seen the last couple of years that if you have to play him, he is serviceable. And you can't have enough corners, you can't have enough offensive linemen. So I would say that to me, Robert Jones would be a guy that I'd be interested in keeping as a restricted free agent.
Well, I'll tell you the guy that on the offensive line that I am interested in keeping around is Kendall Lamb. I mean, Kendall Lamb played admirably in replacement of Teron Armstead this season, to the point that somebody asked us at one point if we should keep Kendall Lamb and just get rid of Teron Armstead, which to be clear, I never advocated for. But, you know, Lamb has proven his worth as the swing tackle. And listen, if you're going to make a commitment, and the Dolphins already made the commitment to Teron Armstead, you have to understand that means probably at least 5 or 6 games over the course of the season. You know, at least a third of the year, you're not going to have Teron Armstead in your lineup. So having Kendall Lamb be able to step in and keep the drop off in play to a minimum has proven to be extremely valuable. So for at least this next season, I think you got to do what you need to do to make sure that Kendall Lamb is part of your team in 2024.
Kendall Lamb's an interesting one, and I think it's one that you're going to wait on. And because the thing is that no matter how much you want to keep him, his ceiling for his role going into the team, going into the season, is that the expectation is he's going to be the swing tackle.
Yes.
And so how much do you want to pay?
Sure.
For a guy who ideally is not going to be on the field the majority of the time. And like it's one thing you pay him $3.5 million like you did last year, but it's like, all right, you're going to pay him $6-7 million. And then ideally he's not playing. Cause like, I don't really want to do that. I get that he's extremely valuable, especially with Teron Armstead being, you know, so frequently unavailable, and that increases his value. And if that happens, then you say, well, this was worth it because for half the season, we got an adequate starter, a serviceable starter at left tackle, and we only paid $6-7 million for it. I can see the point in that. But what I would probably do is I would be definitely looking to address this position in the draft, not just for the short term, but also for the long term. And then I'm probably waiting through the first wave of free agency and waiting again for that cap space to free up. And then if Kendall Lamb is still on the market because nobody wants to pay $6-7 million for a swing tackle, then you can come back to the negotiating table and you can say, well, we can afford to pay him that for 1 year, or we can afford to pay him $4-5 million, which is still a raise from what he got last year. Or you find some other guy who can be your swing tackle for like $3-4 million and be serviceable. Because as good a season as Kendall Lamb had, he's not the only swing tackle in the league that can do a decent job for a handful of games.
Sure.
So I don't necessarily want to overpay for that position just because he had a good year.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that Kendall Lamb is going to try to find a job perhaps starting somewhere. And there are certainly teams out there that may find themselves in need of a tackle. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that Lamb is just, you know, because I'm sure the Dolphins aren't going to want to pay him that much more than what they were paying him previously. And so if you've got a team that is in need of a starter and is going to pay him like a starting offensive tackle, then yeah, he's probably going to go take that role. And quite frankly, he earned it. So listen, either way, I think it's the Dolphins still have some interesting decisions to make. But I think of the guys that we talked about here, I think the one that you want to lock up sooner rather than later is Deshaun Elliott. I think you want to make that commitment. And then I think you wait on Nick Needham. I think you can perhaps wait on Brandon Jones. You can wait on Robert Jones, and you can wait on Kendall Lamb. I think of those guys, Elliott is the one that I want to absolutely make sure that I get locked in. I don't think there's anybody on that list. I would be really disappointed if the Dolphins lost out on Deshaun Elliott.
I agree.
I think the other guys on that list, if the Dolphins were to miss out on them, would it be disappointing? Sure. Would it be the end of the world? No.
Let me throw a couple more names out at you. Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah.
Interested in bringing him back on like a deal similar to what he got this year?
Yeah. I mean, the big question with him is whether he can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the exact extent of that injury that he suffered last year.
Mm-hmm. How about Raekwon Davis?
Yeah, man, he's a tough one too. Because he sort of fits he fits the profile of that player. That sort of nose tackle.
He's kind of a guy, tweener.
But he's not, I don't know. I could live without Raekwon Davis.
He's kind of a tweener. He's not explosive enough to be like a penetrating pass rushing type. And he's not, even though he is the size, he's not built low enough to the ground to really be a true nose tackle. And so you kind of just get, I think where he's at his best is like, you know, a 3-4 end, like a run stopping, stuffing end. But it's, I don't know. It's, again, a very niche role. He's a guy that probably at, you know, ideally is playing like 40% of your snaps.
Yeah.
And he's not giving you a ton of production.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing that he does at like a super elite level. So I don't know. Like, that's another guy that if he walks, I think he's easily replaced.
Yeah. Who else you got for me?
How about some receivers? Any of these guys that you would bring back, even if it's super cheap to be like your fifth receiver? Braxton Berrios.
No.
Cedric Wilson.
Cedric Wilson's already gone.
Chase Claypool. River Craycraft.
So here's the thing. I like River Craycraft, and he's a guy, you know, with the special teams value, and his blocking ability is really great, but he doesn't get... So, like, strictly as that kind of blocking extra wide receiver, you know, bottom of the rotation kind of guy, you know, that WR5, I think you could think about keeping Craycraft around. But I also think if Eric Azukama is able to get past this injury that he's dealing with, he is the guy that I think can unlock the offense the way that River Craycraft wasn't capable of doing. Because Azukama can be that blocking wide receiver, and he also has the potential to be a wide receiver who's capable of beating man coverage, which Craycraft is not.
What I'm saying about the wide receiver room, Eric Azukama is a very interesting piece. And he's a piece of this puzzle that if he's healthy and he turns out to be what we think and hope that he can be, then it's a big win for this group. But you still need to fill out the room. And I think it would be a mistake if you go into this season expecting Eric Azukama to be like the number three receiver. I think if he ends up being your number three receiver because he's healthy and he just outplays other guys, then that's great. I think you got to bring somebody else into this room. And so when I would look at like a River Craycraft and a Braxton Berrios, and I would say, well, I'd be okay with keeping one of those guys as my wide receiver five. I'd be okay with bringing Braxton Berrios back if he wants to take a little bit of a pay cut to just be your return guy and your fifth wide. Because that's the cool thing about Braxton Berrios is, you know, this guy can be a solid return guy. Even if he's not spectacular, he's a solid guy that can handle your returns, because if you let him go, well, then that's another position that you kind of have to be searching for, is who's going to be handling your returns.
Sure.
I'm not losing sleep over losing any of these guys.
Yeah.
You're right. I completely agree with your assessment that of all of these guys, the only guy that I'm probably disappointed, like really disappointed if we lose, is Deshaun Elliott.
So there it is. So there it is. So that's our conversation about Miami Dolphins guys who are currently on the roster or on expiring deals that the Dolphins are going to try to keep in-house. Next week, we're going to talk about the guys who are outside of the house who we think the Dolphins might want to bring in. And that's going to be a fun episode, because we're going to get to talk about, we might even have to have Tom on the show, because we might talk about a running back. Tom's a big running back guy. So who knows? We'll see what happens. But we'll talk about receivers next week. We'll talk about running backs. We'll talk about tight ends. There's a couple possibilities. So make sure you join us next week. Make sure you smash that like button. Make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to the same old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com, Amplified to Rock, at AAron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Shout out to anybody who might also be on Blue Sky. I'm over there as well. You can follow me at Amplified to Rock and at Same Old Dolphins on Blue Sky as well. We need more people talking sports over on the Blue Sky. I'm trying to make that happen. So come on over and chat with us. But, you know, thanks again for hanging out with us here on the Same Old Dolphin Show. We appreciate you as we head into the off season. Thanks, as always, for listening. We will be back with you next Monday. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Tune in next week for Safe for Work Tight End Talk.